The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now we come to the thrilling final episode of our radio drama.
Broadcasting from beautiful and safe Brighton, Massachusetts.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative. Gets the people going.
The Greg Hill Morning Show.
Ladies
and gentlemen,
please, would you bring your attention to me? For a feast for your eyes to
see an explosion of catastrophe. Starring. I'm here for it, bro. I'm sure Greg Hill does a mediocre job.
What is wrong with a man who loves a dog?
Greg Hill.
Like, my father-in-law, he kills bears. And so he always has, like, deer meat. And
ooh,
I don't
like venison and stuff?
Yeah, I don't like the way deer meat tastes. I'm not a big fan
a
of that.
Little gamey for you.
Yeah.
Featuring the original spark of the Pats Dynasty.
All right, what up, adults?
Yes, queen!
I did not know that.
Wiggy.
See, I mean, I'm going to have to DP it Saturday.
Pause.
But yeah, right?
Joined by the Relationship Alpha.
Here's seismologist that turns my tune.
Courtney Cox.
You don't know this song?
No, I know Last Christmas, but there's so many different versions of it. I don't know.
This is the original.
Yeah.
I like the Leah Michelle version.
Stop it.
Leah Michelle?
Yeah.
Yachty of mine.
And accompanied by
the real Slim Shimey. Please.
I'm standing up.
Two big brains behind the glass.
Well, get past that.
Like, talk to me, Daddy.
Curtis and Shime.
Boo. She doesn't like George Michael. Boo.
George Michael's.
Now.
Sweet, sweet taste of victory.
And I am 100% passing judgment.
It's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show.
This is a godforsaken bunch of. You guys, I've never heard of this name in my life.
On Boston Sports Original.
The vibes are immaculate right now.
You're just all about a good time, a good vibe. You're a vibe curator.
W-E-E-I.
When I say Greg Hill and you say show, Greg Hill! Greg Hill! Go! Greg Hill! Show! All right.
Good morning from Gillette Stadium, a moral victory Monday. And I actually mean it when I say that this morning, Wiggy. It does feel like a moral victory Monday. The first that we've had, Patriots lose it 24-21 to the Bills, but it was a good game. We are the Greg Hill Show. No Greg Hill, no Curtis, but it is Wiggy and the Woman with
our guy,
Andrew Raycroft. Good morning.
Great morning.
Talk about scheduling for Ken Laird and Razor. Razor told me that he found out yesterday that he wouldn't just be going to Brighton, but he would be coming down to Foxborough.
Yeah.
Yes, exciting.
Ken
gives
you a lot of information, doesn't he, on like where you need to be, what time you're going to be there, where you got to go.
Yeah, exactly. The security's easy for me to figure out here. It's a small building.
nice and easy. You should have called. I would have gone and gotten you out from the front. Because even it looks different down here today.
Oh, there's been some
construction.
Yeah,
Ricky and I both.
Not to mention it's minus 98 outside.
Yeah, it is cold. It is freezing. And you are not the only special guest we have. We have Jaden this morning with us as well. I don't know how you got your son to come wake up this early to come down here with us.
It's like I'm babysitting today. Take your kid to
how
work.
How you doing? How you doing?
Yes. And is Jaden going to have a lead for us this morning?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think
I'm
ready for all of that.
Yeah, I think you're ready.
I don't know if he really knows what the lead is.
He'll just help your dad.
Yeah, he wants to talk college football, but I told him it's not as big up here than it is down in the South.
Well, it is this weekend. I mean, all playoff games ended up kind of the way that we expected them to.
Did they really? Because that was going to be my lead. I was going to get into college football because I heard a lot of, like, you know, complaining and things that I felt were like, I don't know. I felt I was disappointed when I heard some people talking about the way the college football playoffs was set up as far as the teams that were there. And I guess we can kind of...
Because they all ended up being not close.
Yeah, I guess the games all ended. I guess I'll give you a little preview on my lead. People were complaining about teams like SMU and Indiana.
Okay.
So
the funniest thing I saw over the weekend was a TikTok of a bunch of SMU girls on a PJ going to Penn State because all SMU people have private jets. And they were all like on our way to beat Penn State. And it was like, oh, this aged well. But, they got the PJ out of it. So who's really winning?
Yeah. And I thought it was a great week for college football. I mean, yeah, the games weren't they were blowouts. But I just think as far as the whole college football playoff system, I think it was something that, you know, fans were excited about. I'd love to, you know, usually this is Curtis's world, so I don't want to step into his world, but I'd love to know, like, what those ratings were.
Yeah.
Especially college football versus the NFL on Saturday and, like, kind of where the ratings were initially at the beginning of the games, you know, because I was kind of watching both of the games, the Baltimore game, and then obviously the Kansas City game.
And I was just going to say that Texans-Chiefs game with the injuries.
Oh, man. I mean, so
I think they got a lot of people probably drawn from college football to go see what was going on there.
That Tank Dell injury. All you can do is hope that the kid's all right and it's something he'll be able to battle back through. But they haven't really gave much information on we know it was serious, but they haven't, like, given much information on, you know, what exactly
the future
it was. Yeah, exactly. Crazy.
But the Bruins got a win over the weekend, and that's a good thing because we do have Razor here. You've been on the road. You've been really everywhere with this Bruins team. You're very close, very intimate with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, a little bit.
Yeah.
Lots of road trips in November. They were away all this month, and then, yeah, they squeaked out a win this weekend, fortunately.
And can I just give you a compliment? Because I do love, and I've said this before, the Nesson broadcast idea where you've got Patrice, you've got Tuca. That whole feel is great.
Yeah, we're doing it tonight, too.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
It tonight.
Wow. That's like your version of the Manning cast.
That's our Manning cast. That is our Manning cast. So we're continuing to tweak it and hopefully get it better. Witt's coming on tonight.
Okay.
So that should be interesting. Ryan Whitney, spitting chiclets, a little. He's been, you know, on a lot about the Bruins. So he's on tonight. Keegan Bradley tonight, too, the golfer. So should be a good show.
I like it because you guys are in the same area, right? You guys are all at Nesson, right?
Correct. We're sitting like this together. Yes.
The reason why I hate the Manning cast.
Yeah. Except
when Bill's on, but I watch it. But I hate the fact that both Peyton and Eli are in different places. And then obviously the third person that comes in is somewhere else. So they're kind of sometimes they step all over each other because they're all in different places. Where at least if you're sitting around each other, you can kind of see, like, you know, you can kind of physically be there. If somebody wants to jump in, they can signal. Where I think that setup is so much better. I would like to at least have Peyton and Eli together.
They should be.
Even if the third person in is somewhere else, but at least they're together, and then there won't be as much stepping on each other.
The flow is way better.
Yes.
And then you wonder, especially when it's Eli and Peyton, why they can't get on a PJ and hook up somewhere in between.
Right. Well, it's because it started during COVID. So it was a perfect situation for COVID times, but now they just haven't changed.
They're mailing it in a little bit.
Back to normal.
But so that we got that tonight. That'll be fun. Bergie's, they've been all in, and it's fun, and we hang out, and it's a good setup. Thanks for watching.
Well, we'll talk a lot about the Bruins today since Razor is here. Shime, good morning. How was your weekend? How are we feeling?
Morning. I feel great. It's a wonderful weekend. College football betting went exactly how I hoped it would for the most part. So, good weekend.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Wiggy. I hope that you took Costos' tip for the Ravens-Steelers game and not mine, because mine would have lost you money.
No. Who did we bet on, right? We bet on
Mark Andrews.
Yeah, we bet on Baltimore.
Okay.
Yes, we bet on Andrews anytime touchdown, which worked out well. Then we have Lamar Jackson anytime touchdown, and they get inside the 10-yard line, and for some reason they want to hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. I get it, dummy. Let Lamar keep it. And then we had Pat Freiermuth touchdown.
He didn't do much
for us.
All right. Well, we have a lot to get to today. Well, 6:30, we'll do our leads. Shime, make sure Jackson has one. I'm giving the people what they want this morning because there is a bit of an issue with Twitch. We're figuring it out while we're here.
We are up and running now. We're
maybe
good to go.
Oh, we're up. Okay, yep. Okay, because I was hoping that there was not going to be any conspiracy theories that we were all working from home or something. We are here at Gillette.
We are not working from home.
So they
can
see us. They
correct.
Can see us, okay.
All right, good.
Yeah. Razor wants you to know he didn't work from home today.
Yeah. So we're going to get to the leads at 6:30. They set it at 7:30. We'll have the news at 7:45. And then, of course, Gerard Mayo will join us at 9. During They Set It this morning, we are going to hear from Charlie and Tiger Woods. Wiggy, you've been big on, is Tiger Woods back? What's the deal with Charlie Woods? I hope you watched a little bit this weekend. If you hadn't, we'll talk about it during trending this morning.
What's the goal? Is that where they played, like, him and his dad played somebody else?
Correct,
and her son?
Yes. Well, no. There were a lot of dads and children all playing.
I didn't realize he had a daughter too, Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Does she play golf?
A little bit, but she was the caddy for this one.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that. But Gerard Mayo at 9. Wiggy, do you feel like he saved his job with this one? I mean, you and I have been on the same page when it comes to. I don't think it's time to say goodbye to him quite yet.
No. But remember, we had this conversation on Friday about if they're able. Because I don't think many people had expectations that they'd win the game.
Yep.
But it was more about what does this team look like the last three games of the season under Mayo, right?
Yeah.
And I think we had the conversation where even if they lose, is it a close game or do they get blown out? And the fact that it was a close game and they actually played Buffalo pretty good in Buffalo, I mean, maybe that's part of the rumors that were out there. It's all about how the team looks going into these last three games. And I think you got to be happy if you're the Crafts and them just based on the way that they played in that game to lead to kind of say, well, you know, let's keep this guy. I don't think they're going to fire the guy, but the Razor, there's so much stuff going around. Oh, man, there's so many rumors out there. But I think that performance at least helped his case for him.
And the play calling was better, too, for the offense, I thought.
Yeah, second half they kind of, like, disappeared. I don't know where. The defense still, they did a really good job except for I think it was that one big run they gave up. But I thought they did a great job against Josh Allen. So, I mean, and we all think either him, Lamar, or Saquon are going to be the MVP.
And are you the one who always says that you feel like Drake May reminds you of Josh Allen?
Yep.
Watching it back and forth, like Drake May looked awesome yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
And so, I mean, future-wise for the Patriots, you have to be excited for that.
Yes. I mean, you have a lot, though.
You got a lot. You got to understand, Rays is a little biased because he's a Buffalo
Bills
fan. They played hard yesterday, too, and Bills did not cover yesterday either. So.
And it looked frigid.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It was cool.
Men in the room a question? Because I just don't understand why guys feel the need to, when it gets below 10 degrees, take their shirts off.
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's always. Is it like a hard-o move?
I think that's like, I don't know. I don't know what. I don't remember guys really doing that when I played, but now it's like anytime it's cold, like the whole team was out there. And college football, there was a bunch of guys out there. Yeah, I think it's just like taking the shirts off and trying to be the tough guy. Not me.
No.
50 Seems degrees, tough. I go by 50 degrees, I wear sleeves.
A lot of people are going to be sick for Christmas after that game because
we all get sick.
Yep,
because they got their shirts off.
All right, so right. Obviously we are going to get to a lot this morning, but we are going to start with this.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Patriots drop a close one with the Bills, 24-21 the final, with the Pats leading in the first half. But a scoreless third with Buffalo scoring 10 was the start of the end. Drake May completed 22 of 36 passes for 261 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have an interception. But after the game, Drake wanted to make something abundantly clear about the team's feelings towards Jerod Mayo.
Yeah, just trying to block out that noise. You know, I think it's a bunch of conversations about our coaching staff and stuff like that. I think it's some BS, to be quite honest. Coach Mayo's, we got his back, and his coach is hard. He wants to win. We all want to win. We're all frustrated. AVP's been, I feel calling great the past weeks. We're just plays away, and especially me turning the ball over. I think it's just a testament to these guys that keep fighting. We keep fighting. We're not going to make the playoffs. We're out of the race, and these guys keep coming in, and I'm frustrated when we don't score, and they got energy at practice, and they got energy coming to the game, and we want to win. There's guys not even playing that are yelling on the sidelines and wanting to win, so it's I think we're building something good, building something that feels right here, and I'm proud to be, I'm proud to be a Patriot.
I love that out of him. And everything I've heard off air, off the field, is that these players respect and love Jerod Mayo. I don't think that he's blowing smoke when he says that.
No. You would. See, I think those whispers would come out. You know?
Yeah. The college playoffs got underway this past weekend, and it was pretty much what everyone expected it to be. Penn State beat SMU, Ohio State beat Tennessee, Texas beat Clemson, and Curtis's college lock was a good one. Notre Dame beat Indiana. The PNC Championship happened in Orlando over the weekend, and what a showing from Charlie Woods. His first hole-in-one, the 15-year-old Charlie hit a 7-iron on the par 3 fourth hole for his first ace. We'll hear from him and his dad, Tiger, during They Said It this morning. The Celtics are back in action tonight after beating the Bulls on Saturday. They have the Magic in Orlando tonight, 7 p.m. tip. And the Bruins beat the Sabres on Saturday. They have the Capitals tonight at the TD Garden. Puck drop is at 7. And start the new year risk-free with Awaken 180. No subscriptions, no hidden fees, just a proven plan to crush your goals. Have 20 to lose? You could reach that by February. Have more? Do the math. Go to awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Here is my good friend Shime with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. It's currently 10 degrees. We've hit double digits, finally, in the city of Boston. The high today, only 26 degrees. Grab your parkas, folks. It is going to be a chilly one.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Greg Hill Show. We are at Gillette this morning. Myself, Wiggy's son Jaden, Curtis is off, Greg is off. So we've got Razor in the house, a lucky Razor on Christmas Eve, all the way at Gillette. Shime's here, Jackson's here. And I'm very excited to see, I hope, all of you at some point tonight at Eve party. I was just going over the specifics with Wiggy. Shime already told me that he is going to come, but he's going to be swinging in before the Bruins game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct, Shime?
Yes, it is.
You and the missus?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow, I can't wait for that. I believe Jackson's coming as well. I don't know if he's swinging in or staying the entire time.
The whole weekend.
Yep, or the whole weekend. You know, the more the merrier. But very excited for that. We did all of our errands running yesterday. It was a long one for Santo.
Yeah, that's a tough beat for Santo. This sounds like an undertaking.
Yeah.
You did, by the way, you asked me to make sure that I was very busy tonight, and
no.
Then you invited me.
No,
just
no,
for the,
no.
Just for the
I
record,
was asking.
That just happened?
No. I was asking for the rundown of your evening at Essen.
And then you invited me knowing that I
didn't make it. You said it was an easy lift tonight.
It was an easy lift.
Yeah. So.
But you're very busy. It's shocking because kind of talking to you, Courtney, off air, the amount of people that are invited to your crib and you live in the city, just that is kind of like, I was like, whoa, can you fit that many people in a two-bedroom apartment?
Yeah, two-bed, two-bath.
This is going to be like a classic old-school jam-packed house party.
Don't you love those?
I do love those. Yeah. They get very, very rowdy.
Yeah, you and Mrs. Wiggins have not formally accepted if you guys are going to come tonight.
I thought it was just like, show up if you're going to come. You got to let the person know.
I'm not holding my breath. I'm not holding my breath.
Isn't that
for Wiggy and Talina.
Wait,
if it was up to Talina, I think they'd be there, but...
isn't that, Razor, isn't that like part of having a house party that it, the, if the invite goes out, if you show up, you show up. You don't have to RSVP, right? Yes.
Oh,
right.
I mean, you got an invite in your email that said, like, attending, not attending. It says you guys opened it but didn't respond.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
But I guess that's – as I'm trying to remember the house parties that I used to go to as a youngster, I felt like when you were in – you just – if you showed up, you didn't have to tell the person you were showing up. So maybe I pop in.
Yeah, no, I love it. I just – it's funny when you look at the list. It just says Jermaine and Talina opened. So it'll be a surprise. It'll be a surprise.
Now, is your party like the Drake? Do you have people like Seinfeld reference people doing things? You know, like somebody DJ and making sure nobody
taps. Who's in charge of coats?
Yes,
Oxcord is open for anybody that wants it. I mean, we will probably have it in the beginning, but as the night progresses, people can take it over. Coats will all go into the guest room, and we are doing all the food and drink ourselves.
Okay.
All right. When we have a house one day, we'll, you know, help. We'll get help. But right now, it's just us. Just us. Well, we would love to hear from you this morning as the Patriots finish up their game against the Bills. 24-21 was the final in Buffalo. 617-779-7937 is the number to call and text. Reminder, we don't have a separate text line anymore. It's all one. So do we have anybody yet this morning, Shime, that want to weigh in, or we're going to wait to hear from some
people? Here's Walter in Boston.
Morning, Walter.
Yeah, hey. I was just saying, Wiggy, I watch on YouTube, and I look, there's like two Wiggies there. He moves exactly like the same mannerisms, same everything.
Yeah, nice.
But I'm calling in to say, to me, I want them to keep Van Pelt another year to see what it looks like with better players, because that'll be Mac's fourth. If they switch, it'll be his fourth OC in 4 years.
You mean Drake? Real quick, you mean Drake's
that'll
second?
That'll be May's fourth. Yeah, it'll be his fourth OC.
Oh, you're talking about his college, count his college career.
Yeah. But Wiggy and Sean, I just want to ask you this quick college question. You guys were saying that Wham Gentry's having this historic season, but he's going on his 14th game to break a record that was set in 11th game. And Barry, that year that he set the record in 11 games, also ran in a Holiday Bowl for 225 that wasn't counted. So if they go to 18 games in a couple of years and the guy breaks Wham Gentry's record, are we going to say it's the same thing? When Gentry's getting 14 games and a bowl game to break a record that was set in 11 games. And at the time, it was the Big Eight that Barry was in. It was the second best conference in football. Guys, have a good day, though.
But that's always going to be the thing with records in every sport. You know, we're talking about, and one of my leads at the beginning of the year, Razor, was Ovechkin was, 30 goals away from passing Gretzky?
Yeah.
And then you start to look at, like, the amount of time that one guy's able to do it versus another guy. But I get what he's saying. But in today's game, like you get in the NFL, there's more games. So it gives you more of a time to break a record. I don't think it really matters. I mean, at the end of the day, if people are going to look and go, okay, one guy did it in this amount of time and the other guy did it in this amount of time, you're still breaking a record that has stood for a very long time.
And that's the beauty of these records, is that you get to debate them forever anyways.
Right.
Of what's better, because the eras against each other. So I'm with you, because you're, the same thing you can say, well, they used to run the ball all the time. Now they throw the ball all the time. So it's the same debate when you talk about attempts and everything else. So, the fact that this guy...
it's a Boise State kid he's talking about, the Ashley Gentry kid. Yeah.
So... That's the beauty of the records. Whether it's football, hockey, baseball, we always debate who's baseball when Barry Bonds or Babe Ruth, and they went on and on. So that's what records are for.
Sticking with hockey for a second, Joe Sacco, do we like him?
Yeah.
How do you feel about him? Do you feel like he could be the future after the season? Like this is a long-term situation for him?
Yeah, sure. If the guys continue to play well and you go on a run in the playoffs, of course, you're going to – absolutely look at him. He's been here for 11 years. He's been associate coach, assistant coach, and the fact that they're 10-4-1 since he took over is what we thought this team was more likely going to be.
We talked about this, Courtney, and I think we asked Milbury about this. Having you here, it's even another kind of look behind the curtain. He's been here for so long. Mm-hmm. Why isn't it that when they've had coaching openings, the Bruins, whether it was with Montgomery, whether it was with Cassidy, why isn't he been a guy who's been given that opportunity? Like, and so that's the first part. And, yeah, like, what does he really have to do in the postseason to basically be the guy? Is he going to have to go on a deep run in order for them to give him an opportunity?
That, yeah, I'm not sure on that one. I don't know really what the – I think it's still hard to tell what that expectation will be. I think it always looks one way or the other, whether it – you know, same as this game yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that the optics depend. Why he didn't – the of course, the first firing, he was only here like a year. So the Julian to Cassidy, right, I'm sure that wasn't really in the mix. But the last one, Cassidy Montgomery, he was certainly interviewed and looked at. And then he got bumped to associate coach with Montgomery. So I'm not exactly sure what that process was or why they didn't just give it to him outright. But he was certainly upgraded through that, Montgomery coming in and now him having the job. It's pro sports, so you always have an opportunity to continue, but you always are you know, 2 weeks away from getting fired as well in hockey especially.
Well, I think Mark had a question for you. Do we still have Mark from Medford on the line, Shime?
Yeah, what's up, guys? What's up, Razor?
Yo, what's up?
I got actually two questions for you. One, I have noticed more and more now, and it's starting to really aggravate me, why David Pastrnak is passing up on open shots he can get on net. I don't understand. And also, Korpisalo seems more aggressive in the net than Jeremy Swayman this year. That game the other night, he was coming out of the crease and making some great saves.
Yes, I would say, well, let's go to the second one first. Stylistically, Korpisalo is a little bit more aggressive. We could get into all those details, but it's just more kind of a style of play. But the reality is Korpisalo has been really good. He's really confident. And for all the criticism that Don Sweeney takes, at times people always forget to go back in hindsight on these deals. And Kastelic and Korpisalo, you could argue, have been the two most consistent players for the Bruins, along with a first-round pick for Linus Allmark, who wasn't going to play here. So it was a pretty good deal. And Korpisalo is a real NHL goalie for people that just wanted to throw mud at him in the summer. He's showing really well. David has been turning up shots. I think he's focused on trying to get other people involved a little bit too much at times. I think he understands that he can go at any point. I mean, at the same time, you know, he gets 4 points in a game last Saturday, and it's like, he's still struggling. Right. It's like there's not much he can do right now other than short of scoring 55 goals in the next 55 games without, you know, people saying he's passing too much. Like, I think he's just that player now. He's just that good. He's that superstar player in Boston that unless he gets 4 goals every night, people are going to say, why isn't he doing
more? What is it with Swayman? I mean, we've had this discussion and we've had this conversation. What is it with Swayman? You played the position before. I thought maybe it might have been Russ because he wasn't able to show up and get a full training camp. But what is it with him that he kind of just, you know, he doesn't look like, and he's, and is another part we thought maybe it could be the pressure that he's putting on himself with the new contract.
Well, there's always that. There's going to be that. And it wasn't going to go as perfect as the playoffs went for Jeremy Swayman, right? The playoffs, everything was falling into place. The way the guys were playing in front of him was like a perfect balance of not great and not dominating, but also good enough defensively that lots of shots were coming from the outside, and they were keeping most of the plays to a goalie's point of view savable. They're making saves. So it was never going to be like that for the entire 82 games. He's going to have a bullseye on his back because of the contract. You're living on a thin margin as the position is as well. The other day in Edmonton, I thought he was great. Everything looked really good. Mm-hmm. And then he gives up a goal through his legs in the second period. That was off of a weird play, but you got to make that save.
Right.
And now everybody starts criticizing. But up until that, and even through that, like his movement was better than what it had been at certain times. So the position itself is just difficult. And when you add some of the pressure and the expectations and what people think you're going to go from here to here just by signing a contract that's worth a lot of money. And the reality is it's a lot more incremental.
But it does seem like he's worse than we've seen in the past. And well, I always go to the part of like,
going to the goalie hug.
Well, no, because it's not even the goalie hug. I just think that Linus, it was a good competition for him constantly. Day in, day out, they had a good competitive friendship.
Yep.
And it made them both better.
Yes, all of that, yes. But you couldn't have both of them. Like, you can't have both.
But
they're both making $8 million. Well, I mean, yes. Yes, okay. Yes, for sure. Because of
the age.
Because of the age and because of the playoffs last 2 years. Right? Linus Ullmark had an opportunity to take the best team in the history of the National Hockey League through the playoffs, and he lost.
Right.
He lost in the first round with a 3-1 lead and didn't play game 7. Like, there was a lot around that. Last year, he went in this game 2, lost game 2, and Swayman took... So Swayman is the right guy. There's no question. But, of course, he has to have that... This is the first time, and I know I've said this a lot over the summer, like, this is going to be a challenging year because... It's the first time he's done any of this. It's the first time he's a starting goalie. It's the first time he's had to work through expectations this high. It's the first time he's had to play a game after giving up 8 goals 2 nights later without Linus Ullmark. So,
and your defense in front of him is not...
Hasn't been good.
We have the conversation with Drake May and the offense in this Patriots team. Like, if you don't have the right guys around him or put good enough players around... I would say it's a lot different with the Bruins, because guys that you would look and go, you got McAvoy, mm-hmm. you got Lindholm, you got guys, Zadorov, these guys are supposed to be really, really talented players, where Drake May, he doesn't have that just yet. But it seems like those guys, especially in front of Swayman, are not playing at the level that you would think that it would help the goalie, right? If your defense is not defensemen are not that good,
yeah.
and or not playing to their level, isn't it hard to run a goalie?
Of course, and you're a product of your circumstance. Mm-hmm. As a goalie and as a quarterback, you do need players to help you be very good. And the Bruins just weren't that good defensively under Jim Montgomery. I think if you look at the numbers with Joe Sacco, they're much different. Much, much different. He had an 8-goal blow-up, which, again, is going to crush numbers. That's why his number... He's had an 8-goal, a 7-goal, and a 6-goal game. That crushes your numbers halfway through the season. That's something different the Bruins have never done. So, again, this is going to be... This group, they know they're judged in April. This is still football season.
Yeah.
This is still Patriots season. This is still... They know and understand that the heat's really coming in another couple of months.
Well, you hear whispers, and you're with them a lot. So did they all just hate Montgomery? Is that what it boils down to? And then can you sympathize with the fans that say, okay, these are a bunch of crybabies. They hated Cassidy. They got him fired. They hate Montgomery. They get him fired.
They don't get guys fired. Like, it doesn't work. Because I've heard that narrative.
Yeah.
I listen to you guys in the morning, and I hear that, and it's like they don't go – Cam Neely doesn't go to Brad Marchand and say, do you want this guy fired, or would you like the... That doesn't...
A lot of people think that happened with Patrice Cassidy.
I know a lot of people think that,
yeah.
But I know 37 very, mm-hmm. very well,
yeah.
And I can promise you they do not know when guys are getting fired. I know this for a fact. It never happened on any of the suits. I played with Hall of Famers. It's never happened to any of the Hall of Famers I played with. They don't know. Guys aren't in on the coaching decisions in the National. It's just not
But they're playing better for Sacco.
They are playing better.
Has to be raised. You've been in that locker room.
They did that with Montgomery.
Right, but you've been in that locker room I have.
Yeah.
If... Maybe you don't like the guy's style or the scheme, where in football it's a scheme that he's implementing, whatever it is. You might not play as hard, might not buy into what he's saying. It seems like they're playing harder, mm-hmm. buying in more to what Sacco's saying than what Montgomery was doing, right? So we have to view it at like,
yeah,
maybe you didn't get the guy fired, but you're not playing the same way that you offer Sacco.
No, two separate things. So I was, I'm more addressing like the fact that people think Marchand goes into a draft, the captain of any hockey team, I don't even need to use Brad as an example, a captain of any hockey team would go into a general manager's or a president's office or an owner's office and say, we need this guy fired. That doesn't happen. Certainly there was a message lost, mm-hmm. with Jim Montgomery. The other thing, like, guys, I know not everybody follows the NHL the same way they do the NFL or basketball, whatever, NBA. But like, guy, he was the fourth longest tenured coach in the National Hockey League, Jim Montgomery. Like, mm-hmm. he was it. 2 years is a really long time. 2.5 years is a really long time in the NHL. Voices and messages get changed a lot. I think the message got changed. I think Jim's message was more offensive. I think he was trying to push guys to score more. And Sacco comes in and he pulls everybody back. And I think that's the biggest difference. I think there was a different message being communicated. And I think maybe subconsciously, Jim's message got harder to play under because they were pushing and getting a little more separated. And that's why Sacco has come in. He's been able to simplify. We talk about that all the time, right? Simplify, mm-hmm. simplify. Right. I heard it with the Patriots play calling, and yesterday they spread things out in Arizona after the bye. They got too complicated. Yesterday they simplified a little right. bit going into Buffalo, being a little more nervous, and things go well. A lot of times players need that message. They get away from being simple, especially in hockey. And when a new coach comes in, essentially that's what he does, is bring back all the way to basics. And that's what Joe has done, and that's why the Bruins have played better.
All right, well, I mean...
It's not as juicy
as... No. I don't want it to be juicy, but you do have to, because I... When Cassidy was the head coach, I noticed that none of the guys ever had his back during the media. If media was talking about their play or Cassidy specifically, nobody ever said, hey, that's our guy, we're playing for him. It was a weird overlook, I thought. Then he gets fired. Then they bring in Montgomery, and these guys are playing out of their mind, and everybody loves them, and everybody's hyped up. And then it slowly fades off, and then all of a sudden, it's like nobody has his back. He gets fired. So you do have to ask the question.
Yeah, now, of course.
For any time I've ever met any player of the Bruins, they don't seem like crybabies. They don't seem like they're petty or they want to go out. TC always says hockey players have
different.
The...
We love that one. Different. I love when you say it. So funny.
I love it.
It's just... I agree with you, Court. It's just... I guess it's weird when you look at... It's weird when you look at Montgomery as a coach, right?
Yeah.
Regular season, he... Unbelievable. I mean,
yep.
you know what he did a couple years ago, and it's weird to see a guy perform as a coach that well in the regular season. I get it's about the playoffs, have a hiccup in the playoffs, and then them move on from a guy, and not that like Marchand's going to Sweeney and saying, all right, we need a new guy, but I think it's more like Courtney's thing is like, hey, Brad, how you feeling about Montgomery?
Yes.
And he's just kind of like, yeah, you know, whatever you guys are going to do, I'm cool with. If you guys decide to go in a different direction, I'm cool with it. I think maybe that's what Courtney's kind of saying.
I don't think Patrice Bergeron was going in to the GM's office and saying, hey, we got to get rid of Cassidy. But I do think that it got to a point where they were saying, something's going on between DeBrusque and Cassidy. Patrice is the middleman.
There's
here.
No vote of confidence coming right. from the guy for his coach.
Yeah, there has to be some conversations.
When it comes to the jobs, I don't think that I think that's a little exaggerated on how that works inside a National Hockey League. The thing, back to Montgomery, too, he didn't have a contract.
Mm-hmm.
So who's to say that the Bruins didn't offer him four contracts to an extension to sign, and he was not signing
those
extensions?
Do you think that Monty had something already?
And 5 days later he goes to St. Louis when he doesn't.
But those were
hometown.
The reports at the beginning of the year that they offered him something. And
so there's a piece of that, right? Again, I'm not in those conversations, but there's a piece to that as well in this situation. It wasn't like he had three more years on his deal. Like the Bruins were really patient. Everyone was calling in here 4 weeks before they fired Montgomery to fire Montgomery.
Right.
They're not right. Fire the coach, fire the coach, fire the coach. They stayed very patient, but he also didn't have a contract for the next couple of years. So there's an element to that as well.
All right. Well, I ran a little bit late, so we're going to have to get to the leads after this, but that's coming up. The leads brought to you by Subaru of New England. After the break, it's Wiggy and the Woman with Razor this morning. Shime is here. Jackson is here. We'll get leads from everybody after this. All right, I could let that one breathe all morning long, but that's NSYNC. Merry Christmas, happy holidays. Thank you, Shime, for giving me an easy one, because you know I'm bad when it comes to old artists and who sings what.
But you got NSYNC locked and loaded.
NSYNC, I mean, yeah, that one is a hit. It's a classic.
I didn't know who it was.
I didn't get Wham last week, but NSYNC, that's my wheelhouse.
All right, that's Justin Timberlake's NSYNC, right?
Yes, and I don't know if you guys saw, but there was a little bit of a...
Oh, when he was
bad
on the
look of Justin Timberlake
hanging
on stage.
Hanging. Yeah.
He's kind of disappeared, right?
Well, he got a DUI. Yeah. He's on tour right now.
Oh, he is.
He was like in a harness situation.
He was talking about his junk.
Oh.
Yeah.
Small.
Yeah.
Well.
He was in the pool like George Costanza.
Like it was just, it was a wardrobe malfunction. I don't know how anybody let him get on that stage, put that harness on, and have it all just kind of like, whoop.
Why? Wow, he's performing on stage. You can't. Yeah. You can't.
They do that in rehearsals.
No. I'm saying you can't judge him. Like it's kind of like being in the pool.
All my friends are judging.
He's cooking.
Right.
He's working,
probably got all types of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Under there.
Like,
He's not relaxed. I heard the story, but I didn't see like the footage of it. Like they were saying he's on flying. Like they have him harnessed up and flying all over the stage.
Yeah, it's just not a good look, but I mean, that's beside the point.
I mean, you can't have everything either.
No, you can't.
He's got a pretty good life.
That is right.
You can't have everything.
He's pretty talented.
Yeah.
The leads this morning brought to you by Subaru of New England. Get a new Subaru during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event, and Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. SubaruofNewEngland.com. Shime, good morning.
Good morning, Courtney. So the New England Patriots yesterday played the best quarter they've played of football all season long. That first quarter was, I would dare say, immaculate. It was tremendous. Two touchdown drives. You had the ball for like 11 minutes. Josh Allen played four plays in the first quarter. It was the best quarter of football you played all year. You played okay in the second quarter. Things kind of fell apart there in the second half. But, I mean, overall, when you look at the football game, time of possession was about equal, but you had way less penalties than Buffalo. You had way more first downs. And the thing that I was most impressed by was the fact that your defense was able to get off the field on third and long. Unfortunately, though, they still can't tackle. They can't stop the run. The Buffalo Bills averaged, 6.1 yards per carry? Like, it was brutal. James Cook was kind of having his way with you, and that's what really ultimately lost him this game. It was James Cook and the turnovers, and that's it. It was like dumb, stupid things, and tackling. And you got to fix those. The Drake May interception in the end zone was a bad throw. That one's on Drake. That was a bad spot. You got to throw that ball to the pylon all day, even if Hooper's falling. Like, even if Hooper wasn't falling, he wasn't breaking that up. It was just a bad throw. And then, I mean, I am so done with Ramondre Stevenson. I don't know why he's getting paid $9 million a year to fumble like eight times in a season. I'm good with
him. He was a bulldozer in the beginning of that game, though.
You got to hold on to the football. You got to catch the ball, but that's a bad play call by Alex Van Pelt. Who's throwing a swing route on, you know, when you're on your own minus 3 yard line?
And DeMondre Jacobs
five.
Just whiffing on a cut block. Yeah. Like, I mean, that was disgustingly bad.
I mean, I'm not a huge fan of like the halfback swing pass anyways, because it's just a lot going on. Even if the guy catches it, he's 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. The fact that you throw that right there when you're on your own 5 yard line, and then the guy's able, it hits his hands, he drops the football. Now you got to jump on it because you don't know if it's a fumble. He's getting his head knocked off. It was a bad call in that situation. I blame Ramondre for not catching it, but I also blame Alex Van Pelt for making that call and designing that play.
All right. Thanks, Shime.
Welcome.
Jackson, is Jackson in there this morning?
Good morning. Yes, I am. Hello, Courtney.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. Good morning, everybody. Well, I'm a little bit under the weather. I finally caught whatever the hell is going on around at this Petri dish of a station, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
It's that.
A fun show.
Well, I mean, please wear a mask when you come to my
I know, it's ridiculous.
Oh, my God. He can't come.
I mean, with a cold like that?
Yeah. In a house with 80 people?
I know.
Yeah, everybody.
Excuse me. Social distance, please.
Yeah, I might have to bow out a little bit, but we'll see how I feel later. So, okay.
It'd be fine.
I was teetering between a sentimental lead and a quirky lead, and I think I'm going to give the people what they want in the quirky side of me. So my fiance and I, we live on a pretty main street in Dedham, and cars and trucks use it to get between the two highways in the area pretty much. It's kind of like a cut-through, so it's really busy all the time. And we're like 10 feet from the street, and the cars and trucks are so loud, it sounds like an explosion outside the house sometimes. And they go so fast. And so we're at like a T intersection. So our road is straight. And then like 20 feet up, there's a left that you can take or you can go straight. And we're thinking of going to the city and trying to commission a stop sign to get people to slow down. Is that a douche move?
No. I don't think so at all. I think that you need to think of the safety of your family, Jackson. Get that stop sign.
Yes, I thought so. I thought we might kind of look like Karens a little bit, but like, mm-hmm. Say what if our cast gets out and runs into the street? Like, he would have no chance.
Well, I mean, no. I don't think it. If cars are still going by and hitting your cat, I don't think how quick they're going is going to really affect.
Well, a stop sign might help.
Well, you're saying the stop sign.
Yeah, but they're still got to stop.
Or maybe get one of them little speed bumps that they're putting everywhere in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then I get nervous about the plows. By the way, Shime, your weather report was way off on Friday.
I don't know what you're talking about. I nailed it. There was snow.
We were getting a dusting, and we got like 8 inches. I actually went out and plowed for this.
8 inches? Wow. What are you talking about?
In the city, we got about eight inches, yeah. Well.
Eight?
Wow.
Maybe six, but enough to send
Courtney,
us out
to plow. Courtney, did you get 8 inches?
I did not, Shine, but it wasn't a dusting. I mean, I said a couple
inches. My very first weather report, I said like up to 2 inches.
I was surprised.
Way more than that.
But anyway, that's why if we don't have Curtis.
I'm a fill-in.
We don't have Curtis, we shouldn't really do the weather.
Yeah.
Because we don't know how many inches it was. A good weather person will tell you exactly how many inches we got in the city.
That's right. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Four, six, a dusting.
I'm glad I'm not a douche for trying to get a stop sign then. I'm going to proceed with that. Anybody work for the town of Denham, give us a call here.
All right, there you go. Not a douche move, Jackson, not at all.
Thank you.
All right, we got to take a quick break. We will get to Wiggy Razor, my own lead this morning after the break.